as the minor prophets were given. And we've now finished Daniel, of course, which was the umbrella over the captivity. And now Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are after the captivity. And Zechariah is a very interesting book. Even though it's only 14 chapters, it possesses more prophecies about Jesus Christ than any other Old Testament book except for Isaiah. So even though it's a shorter book in comparison to the major prophets, filled with prophecies about Jesus. But that's later on in the book. Here in the first six chapters, it's God expressing his jealousy over Jerusalem, over his people. And then in 7 through 14, we start seeing God talking about worship, but specifically then prophecies about the coming Messiah, both of his first and second coming. So it's going to be a fun book. But tonight we will look at the first six verses of the first chapter, where, not surprisingly, God is again crying out to his people and asking them to return unto him from their sin. This, by the way, this book was written around 500 B.C. And then, of course, Malachi around 400 B.C. And then we had the 400 silent years. So the second youngest book in the Old Testament is the book of Zechariah. So starting in verse 1, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways, and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. So turn ye unto me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can again meet and open this beautiful book and pray now the Holy Spirit would use it and teach us, speak to our hearts, each personally. We are pleased that we can meet and pray that we can glorify you in our response to your word and that you would guide us through your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Lord, as he said there in verse 2, had been sore displeased. So even though they were allowed to return to Jerusalem, a remnant of them, and rebuild the city and the temple, that didn't mean that they had started living obedient lives as a nation to God's commandments. They were still living in disobedience in many ways, mostly in the worshiping of the false gods. But God said he's been very displeased with your fathers, with those who passed down where you are. And so he now says to this generation, this post-exile generation, what he's been saying for centuries, turn ye unto me. Come back to me. He said this, remember, through Isaiah. Let's go there, chapter 55. He said it through Hosea. He said it through pretty much most of the prophets. Return. And he, of course, is talking spiritually here. Come back to me. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. such a beautiful message and so important for every believer in the Lord that we return. That if we're living in sin, if we're not living the will of God, that we return. Hosea 14, we'll see another example. Turn there, the book right after Daniel. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Where he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Turn. Return. Turn unto the Lord. You know, for us as Christians, if you go to James 4, the message has never changed. James chapter 4, verse 8. And that message is, if you're not right with God, get right with God. It's really not complicated, is it? God has always been there, but God is holy. And God hates sin. And he especially hates it in his children. Notice James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. So, turn. Turn unto God, he says. And did you see what he said in verse 3 of Zechariah 1? He said, and I will return to you. Which we just read in James as well. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You've heard people say this many times, but if you aren't as close to God as you were in the past, God never moved. Amen? It's we that moved. We moved away from him. God's always in the same place of righteousness and holiness. We're the ones that move away, and that's why we're the ones that need to return and draw nigh to God. So back to our passage, verse 4, he then expounds upon what he means. Be not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings, but they did not hear. He's saying, what do I mean when I say return? What I mean is to turn from your evil ways and return to me. And again, this has been God's message to Israel now for literally centuries. It's turn away from sin and turn back to God. He says the same to us. Most of us know the great revival verse, 2 Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so God promises that if we will return, if we will turn away from sin, so it's both at the same time, isn't it? If we are returning to God or turning back to God, it means we're turning away from the sin that has pulled us away from God. That happens at the same time. Proverbs 28:13, great example. Let's turn there quickly. It's always sin that hinders our relationship with our Lord. And if there's sin that is hindering that time with God, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about it. That's one of his ministries. But notice 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh, so it's both, isn't it? Confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. If I regard iniquity in my heart, Psalm 66:18, the Lord will not hear me. So if we're not as close to God as we should be, that's not because God did anything. It's because we have turned away from obedience and have begun to live in disobedience. And God says to us, like he's been saying to his children Israel, return. Turn away from your evil ways and turn back to me. And as we read in Isaiah, he's always willing to take us back. That's our merciful God. So notice back in our passage, the role that the Word of God plays in this process of repenting and turning away from evil and returning back to the Lord, the Word is always involved. Notice verse 5. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes. In other words, those prophets whom I spoke through They've all died. But my word lives. And the same's true for you and I, isn't it? The writers of the New Testament, they've all died. They're in heaven. But we have the book that they wrote. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And what God is saying is, my words are still here. My commandments are still here. You need to obey them. You need to repent, and you need to come back to me. You know, of his word, God said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word, my word shall not pass away. Over and over again, God promised to preserve his word. We know Psalms 12. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then look at 1 Peter 1:25, if you would, quickly. And so we see the role that the Word of God plays in this process that God is begging us to participate in, which is turn from the evil, return to me, return to my ways, return to obedience and serving me and honoring my Word. The Word has a part in that, doesn't it? Because the Holy Spirit uses the Word to convict, to grow, to work in our hearts. 1 Peter 1:25, the Word of the Lord endureth forever. Isn't that good? And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It endures forever. And he says back in our passage, Zechariah 1:6, but my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt to us. He said over and over and over again, if you will not listen, if you will not return, if you continue to disobey, I'm going to have to chastise you. And they're saying, that's what he did. He did exactly what he said he would do. He chastised us. His words always are fulfilled. Amen? They always accomplish what God wants them to accomplish. Let's look at some examples of this. Isaiah 46:10, if you would. Isaiah 46:10. And so again, we see the role that the Word of God plays in this process of turning from our evil ways, returning unto the Lord and His ways, and being close to Him and obeying Him again. He always uses the Word to work in our lives to bring this about. Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. That's God talking about His own Word. He said, my counsel will stand. People come and go. Nations come and go. Israel's obedience comes and goes. Christians' obedience comes and goes. But my counsel shall stand. And then Isaiah 55:11, if you would. God talking about His Word, which He told us would last forever. It will accomplish that which God wants it to accomplish. Notice what he says. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God's leadership, God's blessings, God's protection, God's comfort, God's grace, our future, all of that is laid out in his word. And he's saying, and it will all come to pass exactly as God said it would. So if we find ourselves living in some chastisement, God's just doing what he said he would do. Amen? He told Israel, how many times did we read, Israel, if you don't repent, I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar and I'm going to take you captive for 70 years. I mean, you talk about specifics. They didn't repent. He sent Nebuchadnezzar and took him captive for 70 years, just like he said he would in Babylon. He says to us as his children, if you don't judge yourselves, 1 Corinthians 11:31, then you'll be judged of the Lord. Not as in going to hell, but through chastisement. And the message never changes, does it? Return. Come back to me. Turn from your evil ways. Turn unto me. Listen to what I've said in my word, because I will always keep my word. I will always do what I said I would do. As he says here in Zechariah 4:6, my words, my statutes, they will always come true. So God says to Israel, God says to his children, any children who are not living in obedience, not living the life God wants them to live, says very simply, turn unto me. Turn away from your sin and come back to me. And I promise that I will bless you until you do return. I also promise that I will continue to try to get your attention through chastisement. It's amazing how the same message comes through over and over through each prophet, and yet Israel wouldn't listen. It's very sad. So let's not be like that. Amen. If God's speaking, let's listen. And as he continues to plead to us through his word, let's respond. That's what he's after, a response. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. So turn unto me. Lord, I pray that we would heed.